Wednesday, and that means it's time for one of my favorite segments of the week. We're talking with Ted and Ken on the Farmer Forum today, and it might be more of a conversation with Ken than with Ted after the Cards beat the Cubs last night. But we'll see how bearable Ted is, and we'll probably let him in the conversation.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Congressman Rodney Davis from Illinois. Then it's our Farmer Forum with Ken McCauley and Ted the Hammer Hamer. And right after the news, a quick visit from Marky Eckelkamp from AgPro Magazine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking putting Ted Hamer and Ken McCauley together on the same show.
Should be quite the peanut gallery.
Yeah, this could be quite the battle for airtime.
You know, it's going to show your expertise, your experience as a broadcaster.
Yeah, it'll show
to
all.
Keep this conversation between the lines, baby.
It could show each and every weakness that I have, Davis.
If nothing else, just talk about the weather.
Yeah, because we all know that I can do that for an hour or two.
Sure, why not?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, these markets. You remember what I said yesterday afternoon? When the markets are sliding, I'd like to have a definitive reason why, a clear, understandable reason why. I don't know if I've got that, other than the simple fact that we've got to be taking a real close look at what's going on technically in the markets right now.
Sure.
And we cannot underestimate the influence of the chart formations, and we cannot underestimate how important it is that the funds have been long and long for a while in corn futures. And now they just feel like it's time that they may be feeling like it's time to just roll out of this thing. So it's kind of a tough period that we're into right now. But basically, and we'll talk more about this afternoon, I think, when we have a conversation with Sean Hackett from Hackett Financial.
Okay.
Basically, corn has made the 50% retracement now of the May-June rally. That's essentially what we've done. So we factored in all the concerns about the late planting and the planting into far from ideal conditions and paused for a period of time. And as we paused, we have drifted to the downside to the tune of half the rally.
Yep. So these futures now at 417 down that 420 level we've been watching.
Yep.
Corn, beans both off 3 or 4 cents. Wheat complex down 3 to 6 cents, looks like.
Yeah.
Yikes. Livestock off too. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, and we can't forget the Fed. Yeah, you know, the Fed meeting is today. So
that
there could be a little bit of anxiety over that. We might just be waiting until we get that announcement at 1 o'clock Central Time as to what they are going to be doing with interest rate policy, monetary policy, before the markets decide what they're going to do next. What are equities doing? Ah, next to nothing.
Right.
I mean, next to nothing.
Nobody wants
crazy
to touch it. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. All right. What else is in the news?
Well, Chip, U.S. and Chinese negotiators have wrapped up this week's meeting in Shanghai. The negotiations were not expected to yield much progress, and that was the case. But another meeting has been arranged sometime in September, this time in D.C. Meanwhile, data released overnight showed continuing contraction in China's factory sector, although the manufacturing PMI firmed slightly from last month's reading. And according to a Bloomberg article, U.S. soybean exports to China in the first half of 2019 were the lowest in 15 years, not since 2004. Chip.
Yeah. You know, you did such a good job on setting the expectations for this last week. when you said they're
didn't
going into
much
it with exceptionally low level of expectations and trying to ratchet it back even further. That was the exact right tone to take with these meetings, Davis. Yeah, good work.
Well, the Senate Finance Committee conducted a hearing yesterday to discuss the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Concerns remain among some lawmakers regarding labor, environmental issues, and enforcement mechanisms. Committee Chairman Senator Chuck Grassley noted, quote, trade agreements always need to balance the preferences of different industries, regions, elected leaders, and stakeholders, admitting the agreement is not perfect. Committee Ranking Member Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, highlighted enforcement concerns, saying, quote, I have concerns about enforcement because the new NAFTA carries over the weak enforcement system of the old NAFTA. It's too easy to on trade cheats, and it's not good enough for American workers, particularly on labor rights. Now, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval weighed in, saying in a statement, quote, one message came through loud and clear from today's hearing, that's yesterday, it's time to wrap up negotiations and ratify USMCA. Rarely, if ever, have we heard support from such diverse interests recognize the benefits of this agreement.
Yeah. We've got Congressman Rodney Davis on, and guess what is number one on my list of things to ask him about today? It's where we stand with USMCA.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he is optimistic about the prospect of renewed nuclear talks with North Korea. This after Pyongyang's recent weapons tests, although President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un did agree to revive talks after their June meeting. President Trump remarked yesterday that whatever the Fed does, it will not be enough. The FOMC will meet today to announce whether to make a rate adjustment. Watchers believe a 25 basis point cut in rates is likely. And Chip, finally, the financial slump in farm country is rippling outside the farm. According to a Wall Street Journal article, co-ops are making cuts as concerns grow among cattlemen and dairy operators about the availability of feed. In addition, the Association of American Railroads said grain and farm product shipments by rail are off 4.5% so far this year. Got to watch that ripple effect, brother.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that I would expect to the to the co-ops and so on. But what I'm more concerned about is small-town groceries and so on, stuff like that. All right, good stuff. Thank you very much, Davis.
You bet.
Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, the editor of Ag Pro. Margie, how are you today?
Chip, I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. What are you hearing? What are you hearing from the retailers? What's the buzz?
A lot of folks are spending time out in the field right now scouting. You know, we've had some interesting weather patterns, and we've seen a lot of diseases develop. And today I just wanted to highlight some considerations regarding corn disease. I know there's been a lot of attention put on tar spot. You know, that is a corn disease that's only hit us here in North America since 2015. So a lot of unknowns. A recent publication from extension experts at University of Illinois, Michigan State, Purdue, and University of Wisconsin actually detailed how tar spot impacted corn yields in 2018, and they saw up to 38 bushel losses.
Wow.
But let's not forget that tar spot has a limited footprint kind of in the central Midwest. So, you know, there's a lot of other diseases to pay attention to out there, including gray leaf spot, which can be, you know, controlled, but also, folks, it can have huge yield decreases. There's northern leaf blight, there's ear rots, and there's stock rots out there to keep our eyes open on. And all of this not only can impact yields, but can also greatly impact harvestability for later on.
Yeah, you know, GLS, or gray leaf spot, has kind of become the default diagnosis among crop scouts on Crop Tour, Margie, because it has been such an issue to deal with over the past several years.
It has, and as I shared, you know, tar spot is definitely a buzzword, and as our friend Kyle Stull called out on Twitter just earlier this week, a lot of folks are putting attention onto it, but still there's a lot of attention that needs to be put on some of these, let's say, ongoing disease threats that have a much wider footprint.
Absolutely. All right, Margie, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chip.
That is Margie Eckelkamp, the editor of Ag Pro. Coming up next, right here on AgriTalk, we've got Congressman Rodney Davis from Illinois.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. and an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2019 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is coming soon. Kicking off August 19th, watch for extensive coverage on air and online. The premier sponsor of Crop Tour is Pioneer, with support from IBM, RCIS, RAM, AeroVironment, Titan Tires, and Farm Credit Services of America. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Man, Davis, I tell you what, NCGA, the Iowa Biodiesel Board, yep. Iowa Renewable Fuels, American Coalition on Ethanol, they are all coming hard at EPA right now.
Good.
And saying, yeah, it's there is a coordinated strike happening today.
Outstanding.
Is what it looks like to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll
so
take that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of effort takes place there. And I don't know. I think you need to know this. I think it's pretty important. Farm Bureau is taking nominations right now until September 2nd for the Farm Dog of the Year. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Scout, are you listening? Scout, are you there?
Well, we'll see. All right, let's get to the conversation now with Representative Rodney Davis, representing the 13th District of Illinois. Congressman, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chip. I'm a little disappointed. I'm not a farmer. I'd like to nominate my Yorkie as the Farm Dog of the Year, but I don't know how many votes she would get.
I think she might have to demonstrate some sort of a skill that will help them out on the farm. And the Yorkies, outside of the cuteness factor, Congressman,
well,
I don't know.
Rolling in manure would go a long way. If you get her to do that, you might have a chance.
You guys underestimate the presence and the sheer will of a Yorkie. I'm very disappointed.
Love it. Congressman, the last time that you were on AgriTalk, I believe we were trying to figure out how to get USMCA to the House floor for a vote. Fast forward to right now, and we're still trying to figure it out. What's the status as you know it?
This is the single most important issue that can be addressed when we return in September to Washington, D.C. And all it takes, really, is Speaker Pelosi to put it up for a vote. The deal's done. It's negotiated. It's a campaign promise that President Trump made to the American people to renegotiate NAFTA. He did it. He actually put a lot of Democratic priorities in there. Higher worker standards for Mexican workers, and it's It's a very good renegotiated agreement. They did it. We in Congress, we don't get a chance to change it. That's right. What trade promotion authority is about. It's an up or a down vote. Put it on the floor, Speaker Pelosi, and every Democrat who represents an agricultural or rural district ought to be pressuring Speaker Pelosi, not just the 14 brave Democrats who wrote a letter this week. I was very disappointed. Not a single Illinois Democrat, even those on the Ag Committee, signed that letter asking Speaker Pelosi to put the bill on the floor.
That is interesting. And we've still got Speaker Pelosi at least suggesting a renegotiation on some of these points. That horse has long left the barn to renegotiate some of these points as far as Mexico and Canada are concerned, hasn't it?
Absolutely. That's not Congress's job to sit down and negotiate trade agreements. We have in a bipartisan way said to the administration, go get the best deal, bring it to us. And then the main issue that Democrats will bring up, they'll talk about enforcement. We need better enforcement. Well, you know what? We have better enforcement standards than we had during the last NAFTA negotiations because we fixed the enforcement provisions that really put America at a disadvantage with certain commodities and certain areas of manufacturing in our country. We renegotiated those, and we passed those as part of TPA a few years ago. So the enforcement provisions now are much more strict than they had been. This is all about politics, guys.
Yeah.
This is either they're going to let President Trump get a win and they're going to show bipartisanship, or they're not.
Yep. I think you're probably right there. Did Speaker Pelosi agree to bring USMCA to a vote? Davis, I think it was the timetable on it is by October, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. In exchange for moving the budget bill forward?
Secretary Mnuchin, I believe reports have said that he said that that's the case, but I think Speaker Pelosi is saying that that's not the case. And it's disagreements like this over simple issues like bringing a bill to the floor that just show me that I don't think Speaker Pelosi has an intention to move such an important deal. And that's tragic for our farmers. It's tragic for our manufacturers. We have 500,000 manufacturing jobs open in this country right now, guys. Mm-hmm. 500,000. Mm-hmm. What is she trying to do? Kill those jobs by making sure we can't send our manufactured products to our greatest trading partners, Canada and Mexico?
Right. Boy, when you said for agriculture, I was going to say, geez, don't stop there, and you jumped right into the manufacturing side of it. You're exactly right. Border security, Congressman, it's always a hot-button issue. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because there is so much outrage over the situation down at the border. And a lot of it, of course, is flowing from the Democrat side of the House. Not to say that all Republicans are happy with the situation at the border, but a lot of it is flowing from the Democrat side. How can there be so much outrage and no bills or legislative proposals being put forward to fix the problems?
Because Washington has been consumed by impeachment politics. That's the quick, true, dirty answer as to why it hasn't happened. But it's tragic that we don't see the Republicans and Democrats come together to solve the problem of what we're seeing at our southern border. I was in Decatur, Illinois. Decatur's home to ADM's main facility, Tate & Lyle's main facility, a Caterpillar manufacturing plant, 72,000 people, and we'll just round it up to 75.
Yep.
So over the last 4 months, guys, in our southern border, we have had, over the last 4 months, 100,000 people a month come in through our southern border. That's like over five Decatur, Illinois, five cities the size of Decatur, Illinois, coming through our southern border. If Democrats and Republicans don't think it's a crisis and they stick their head in the sand, I don't know what we do to fix it. But the president is leading. We voted for a bill. I voted for a bill called Good Lat 2 a year and a half ago that I think many Republicans who voted against it, and every Democrat voted against it, many Republicans who voted against it would gladly have a second shot at this one. Border security, fully funded the structure, fixed our broken immigration system, fixed the the DACA and DREAMer legal status issues and actually codified that no families could be separated at the border unless suspected of human trafficking, of course. All those things, you would think with those four pillars, it'd be a great bipartisan bill. Not a single Democrat voted for it, and not enough Republicans voted for it.
Yep. Okay. Back on July 18th, Congressman, you and Lauren Underwood sent a letter off to USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue asking about the June acreage report. Have you gotten a response?
Yeah, we've been conversing with them. They've given us some feedback. It looks like they're going to go reassess the 12 states that are some of our highest corn producing states. You know, this isn't anything new with NASS. There's some good people there that work at NASS. I've done some oversight hearings when I chaired the Biotech Horticulture and Subcommittee on the House Ag Committee a few years ago. I've been over to NASS to see a crop report come out. You know, it's interesting. I've probably been through less security going into the White House than I have going into that NASS report release. Kind of brought me back to the old Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd Trading Places movie, you know.
Good for you. Yeah.
But as soon as we walk out after they release the report, there's no security at all. No security guards, metal detectors are unplugged. But NASS has had a problem in the past, and we've tried to fix it. This is another example, guys, of where, you know, we've seen a bipartisan group come together, and NASS is saying, okay, we might have made a mistake. Let's reassess, because it doesn't take somebody who's a trained numbers scientist or an actuary to walk out to Central Illinois where I'm at and realize that estimating more corn acreage and more corn yields this year versus last year is completely nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The acreage report is a big question mark, and I wish in the June acreage report, I wish they would have led with, okay, here's the numbers that we got from the survey, but we're going to resurvey for the August crop production report. If they would have led with that, I think that would have taken a lot of the sting out of that 91.7 million planted acreage number and would have made it a little easier for the market to digest. So, all right, Congressman.
Well, NASS, go ahead. Well, I was going to tell you, NASS has been a good agency at admitting when they've done something wrong, admitting when things haven't gone right, and trying to fix it. I got to give them credit for that.
Good. Good for you. All right. Congressman, thank you so much. And good luck with the Yorkie and the Farm Dog of the Year.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. All right. That is Congressman Rodney Davis from the 13th District of Illinois. We got the Farmer Forum. Ted from Iowa, Ken from Kansas. Up next.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Visit machinerypete.com/auction to start bidding now. Find that piece of equipment you've been looking for. Get yourself a great deal. Go to machinerypete.com/auction to see what's for sale. Every piece of equipment sells absolute. This is one auction you can't miss. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson. Jeff, looking at the September corn chart, fell to a low of 404 and three quarters, filled that gap on the continuation chart this morning, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And December did it yesterday, and it fell a little bit lower this morning. It's basically EOM GMO. End of month, get me out.
Gotcha.
So the market, the funds are getting out of stale long positions in the corn, and they did have a few, you know, they were net short in the beans. There are funds that were long. And so if you're making new lows to finish out the month, you get out. there's probably some new selling coming into the market as well today. The weather continues to be, I would say, call it benign but dry, and that contributes to the negative undertone here right now.
Very good. Very good. Any anxiety in the commodities or the equities over the FOMC meeting?
I think there's always some anxiety whether or not, if the Fed pulls its punches, doesn't cut the rates, the dollar is going to, rise a bunch. And we basically have a low inflation environment, and that contributes to the overall kind of fun, bearish attitude towards commodities.
Okay. Hogs, it's catching a fallen knife now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the same thing. We had a big rally. We're still higher for the month. And so you have funds that are just getting out of their long positions. We didn't get any concrete information from the U.S.-China trade talks this week that would suggest they're going to come in immediately and buy pork. And so that has the market under pressure, even though the cash market continues to act pretty good.
Good stuff. Thank you, Jeff. That is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson on Markets Now.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
Davis.
Yes.
I'm not even sure what this is.
No, I don't know either.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody.
Have to just sit here and let it happen to us. We have no choice. I don't have a button to shut it off.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson. We just wrapped up a conversation with Congressman Rodney Davis. He's a good conversation. Mm-hmm. And, it sure seems to me like he's shooting straight with us, don't you think?
Well, he likes Nickelback, so there's that.
Well, there is that. That's mm-hmm. right. I'd kind mm-hmm. of forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in our cohort.
Yeah, let's have a farmer forum, shall we?
We shall.
All right. Ted Hamer up here in, gosh, do you call it Northeast Iowa where you're at, Hamer, or is it Central?
I call it the southwest corner of the Northeast District.
There you go. There you go. That's very specific. Very specific. So go ahead. Go ahead. What do you got for me?
Well, I just sitting here massaging my toes a little bit because I was cramping up on every pitch of the ninth inning last night. So I'm okay now, though. I'm okay.
Good, good, good. You know, the amazing thing about all of this is that Cubs and Cards are holding serve.
Yeah, they are.
Ten games
so far.
Yeah, 10 games, and the home team has won each of those games. It's kind of unbelievable because it
Let's
seems
keep
like they're
going through 12.
But now last night I think that was the Cards' move on top of the division, wasn't it?
Yep, they're up a game now. Yep.
We got to do something about that. Let's bring in Ken McCauley out in Northeast Kansas. There is no denying what part of the state Ken is in, because that's about as northeast as you can get there in Kansas. Ken, welcome to the Farmer Forum. How are you?
Thanks, Chip. I'm good. It's good to be back.
Yes.
A little better conditions than it was the last time I was on, I think.
Okay. Well, let's go right there. What do you got? What's happening down there?
Well, we're back to being the garden spot, I think. Corn looks good. Beans are growing. We had a 0.3-inch rain last night. If we get another rain in a week or so with these temperatures, I'd say we're – I wouldn't say we're made. You can always have problems. But, boy, it sure looks good here. And I think across the state, aside from where the guys got flooded out in the southern parts and didn't get to replant, and, you know, in the bottoms, that type of ground isn't good. But, you know, you're seeing a little bit of stress when it got so hot there 2 weeks ago, got up to 95 and 98, and some of those wet spots started to show some problems. Yeah. I think it was probably moisture and heat together. Maybe some ants got lost in those wet spots, too.
Okay. Ken, remind us what your planting dates were almost the corn.
We started just a little bit later, the second week of April, but, you know, usually we try to get going the first week of April, and, you know, we finish just about where we usually do, but if you go very far west or south, that was a totally different deal. Those guys struggled the whole season, and, we're just a good spot, and I'd say we're lucky to be where we are.
Have you got roasting ears now?
Yeah, what'd you say?
Have you got roasting ears now? Are they filling?
Not totally. They're just about there. The sweet corn's almost all done. Ours is on its last few days of sweet corn. But the field corn, you could eat it if you're really hungry.
Well, thankfully, Ted, we don't have to do that up here, do we? There should be a sweet corn supply coming anytime soon. Ted?
Yes. Yes, we started about 4 or 5 days ago, so we're good. Come get some.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up. Appreciate that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
electric fence is up, so that's always the first key.
Tell me, how's things looking? I mean, Ken says he's in a garden spot. We're kind of in a garden spot in this region too, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting in pulled off to the side down here at ADM in Cedar Rapids, so I've been driving 21 and 30 and then going up 380 and things like that. And it does look pretty good. But one thing sitting up above, you know, is sitting in the semi and being able to see over the top of the tassels, you know, the weak spots are still there. And, you know, even yesterday coming home on 380, I noticed beans pulling back and, you know, showing a little bit of gray. And I thought, wow, you know, that we're just barely 80 degrees or 78 degrees yesterday. And there was stress. Not everybody got those rains. I'm, you know, right at the home farm there, 2.4 inches for July. Couldn't have been more timely. But on the other hand, we normally get 4.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the forecast.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's nothing in the forecast for around here for about a week is the way it looks to me. What does your corn need from this point forward, Ted? Obviously, it's going to need a shot of rain here pretty quick.
It's going to need a shot of rain. You know, we got our last corn planted, I think, the 23rd of May. I'm not too worried, you know, from a frost standpoint or anything like that. But right now, we're probably getting exactly what we need, except for the moisture. Nice, decent days, not overly hot. You know, I don't think we really hurt corn unless we're over 85, so let's push it to 85. Let's back it off. I'm driving to Cedar Rapids in July in the morning, and I've got the temperature set at the halfway point in the morning because it's, you know, and then don't even have it completely cranked in the afternoon. That's amazing weather.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. 61 degrees this morning early when I ran the garbage to the end of the lane, 61 degrees.
You got to get up earlier.
Yeah, I was up there. Ken, what's your corn crop need? It sounds like it's getting just about everything that it's got to have.
Yeah, it really is, Chip. And if we get another inch of rain a week, it'd be perfect with the heat. And, you know, heat makes corn. So that's what we're hoping for. And, you know, Ted just talked about needing the rain. They've got us set up for, it's not the bomb cyclone. They've got another new word for it, but it's they're predicting 3 to 6 inches here, and it's just kind of recurring rains north to south this time. So there's all kinds of goofy new names coming out for rains in a big way.
Davis, I'm going to have to go back and take another class to learn all the names that are coming out.
Yes. I don't worry about it.
down.
Change weekly.
You know, I tell you what, third week of August, I wish we could just kind of keep it to northeast Iowa, northeast Kansas, because I think that'd be a lot easier out on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, guys. It sounds like we're looking at a crop that's developing at a pretty decent pace, but that's not going to be the case when we get over east. I know that for a fact. So,
you know, if I sit there and listen, you know, Corey Ritter said last night he was driving up 380 from Cedar Rapids to Waterloo and, you know, talking about how wonderful it looked. And I just keep hearing those, you know, everybody else. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't gotten out of this area for a long, long time. But, you know, how bad it does look in all the other areas. And I'm just thinking, wow, you know, we struggle here a little bit. And I'm not, you know, APH maybe a little better than that, but nothing like the last 4 years.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, Brian and his crew out east are going to have their jobs cut out for them, their work cut out for them when they get over there. Do you guys have any questions about what's going on out there on Crop Tour?
Yeah, Chip, I think they're going to have to really work at it, and then you're going to have to figure out how to discount it according to – you know, what they really, you know, the gut feeling out there, it's just the same as the mass, what you and Congressman Davis just talked about. You know, everybody's got to go to work, you know, figuring out if they need to raise it or lower it from what you come home with.
Right. And, you know, keep in mind, and we talked about this in the Crop Tour podcast that was out to Pro Farmer members on Monday. It should be available out on AgWeb right now. When we go out and we do that tour, the information that comes out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights is raw data. We're not putting any spin on those numbers. All we are doing is collecting in the information that the scouts collect and figuring the averages and putting it out there. But when you get the Minnesota and Iowa data on Thursday night of Crop Tour Week, that ends the tour. Then on Friday, Pro Farmer will put out the Pro Farmer crop estimates and yield. And, Ken, that's when the interpretation comes into play. That's when Brian Grady and myself and a few others, Jeff Wilson, senior analyst, will sit in a room until the work is done and try to interpret what the raw data is telling us. And that'll include some of the maturity issues. And it's like I told Bob Utterback yesterday, we know that there's going to be some issues with it because of the maturity on this crop. The tour just isn't as reliable in an immature crop as it is in a mature crop. So we've all got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's a good question here, Chip.
Go ahead, Ted.
No, I just serious question. What do you do? I've never been on the tour, but what do you do if you stop and you get to a cornfield and you do your 30 paces or whatever it is, and it turns into a bean field? I am serious about that question. Then what do you do?
Yeah, we will mark it down as a bean field, and we will take that bean sample in that spot. The other thing is, Ted, if we walk our 35 paces in past the end rows and we get to a drowned out spot, there could be beautiful corn all the way around us. But if we're in a spot where there's no production, we'll put down a zero and walk out of the field. The only thing that we will collect from that field and enter for that field is the row width, because the calculation, our spreadsheet has got to have at least one number in it to make it work. So... yeah, it's all about consistency and doing it the same way, time in and time out. Okay, these guys are the first ones that get to respond to the MFP payments that are coming out now. We'll find out how they're going to use it next.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last hemp college sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist. And who handles employees? An HR manager. Someone who keeps devices up to date? A software technician. Someone who does business internationally? A global trader. Someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next? An estate planner. And someone who does all these things? You call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Machine Repeat's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerepeat.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerepeat.com/auction.
Some great items available on that machinerepeat.com auction as well. Make sure that you check it out. Davis, so I was making some notes getting ready for this final one, and I see this EOMGMO, end of month, get me out.
Yeah.
That Jeff Wilson brought to us there at the in markets now. The reason that I was writing down EWG is because the Environmental Working Group, I don't know if you saw it or not, but they are doing some groundbreaking work. They're saying that the market facilitation program payments, large farmers, those with more acres are getting bigger payments than smaller producers. That's the way it works, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, duh.
Yeah, well, duh is exactly right. I mean, this, but that's, and that's, this is the kind of hay that a group like the Environmental Working Group is going to try to make right now, isn't it, Ken?
Exactly. And, you know, this program is the first time I remember the government has acted so fast to make a, you know, something they've done to farmers right. We'd all rather have the market. We admit that, but you know, this is alleviating a huge problem that they caused by trying to make things right with trade. And yep. You know, we've all supported all of us. Not everybody's supported it, but I think the majority of farmers are supporting the president to make this trade work better for everyone, not just us.
Exactly. Grundy County, Iowa is in at $76 an acre. Doniphan County, Kansas is in at $71 an acre. Ted, $76 an acre makes a difference.
Yeah, I don't have any Grundy County ground.
Oh, you don't?
So I gotta be Blackhawk at 65 and Tama 73. 73 for Tama.
Okay.
Yep.
But still, it's 65 and 73. That makes a difference.
It does. It does. It's actually, you know, and pretty soon, you know, do you add any more to it, and it'll be real dollars.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Davis can tell you, I actually asked this question the other night. You were asking mm-hmm. what we were going to do with it, and I think the exact right answer is you put it into the cash. You put it into cash, and, you know, probably keep your cash very, very strong. I asked, should we make an extra payment? The answer was no. Get it into the cash position and make yourself very liquid.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to do.
Exactly. Yes.
You're thinking the same way, Ken.
Yes. You know, somebody was trying to be cute on Twitter somewhere that they were going to wonder how many fast boats people were going to buy. That was just stupid to even make that remark, and he pulled it pretty quick. But, you know, everybody that I know needs the money. They'll put it on their operating loan. They'll do something to get them through till harvest time. And I think it's very good timing, and it's figured much better this time than they did the last time, just calling it all soybeans. The money may be the same, or I think the money's a little better, personally. Mine compared to last year. But, you know, it's terrible if we have to start figuring this is going to be our new normal, because we don't really want to be in this position.
Yeah, no. You know, and it's hard to pick it up sometimes on the radio, but when I was talking with Bill Northey, Undersecretary Bill Northey, last week in Washington, D.C., I wish you could have seen his facial expressions while we were talking about MFP, guys, because it pains him to even talk about it. You know, he would much rather be talking about, hey, look, here, we got the deal done with China. Now we can move forward. I think that's where everybody wants to be, right, Ted?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, let's, you know, if we, look, you just want, you know, even with this, you know, the RINs and everything else in the ethanol market, you know, what are the rules? What's going forward? Then we can make the decisions. And, you know, it's the not knowing and the changing the rules in the middle of the game. And, boy, that's what's the frustrating part. We'll adapt if we know the rules. I mean, even if the RINs don't come out the way we want it to, we'll adapt. But, gee whiz, don't change it on us in the middle of the stream, because then it makes it very hard to make really good decisions.
Boy, Ted, that is a feeling, a want that has been in agriculture for 40 years. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, just quit changing the rules on us, and if we know what the rules are going to be going forward, we can plan around it. But it's not easy. Ken, what's going on over there in your area that everybody needs to know about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about demand destruction, and I think there's a lot of guys thinking that we're losing ethanol business by the high price of corn and what Ted just talked about with the waivers and the RINs and all that. And, you know, there's a real problem to me that guys are talking about, wondering, you know, how much demand are we going to get if corn goes up anymore? You know, I think everybody would be pretty happy if it stayed right here. So I think it's the price of corn and, you know, what's your yield going to be? Because, you know, around here, it's going to take pretty high yield just to break even on corn. And if the price goes down anymore, it's going to be worse yet. So it's a kind of a sorry state when you're talking about $4, $4.50 corn and worrying about making money. It's, I think that's probably the biggest thing guys are talking about. You're going to have more money than you had last year for darn sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted, what about you? What's happening that everybody needs to know about?
You know, I just on a little, you know, sad note, we've been talking a lot about mental health on Twitter and things like that among the farmers, but we just had a fellow farmer pass away from a massive heart attack down here. Another one the same exact day ended up feeling bad. And he went in and got his Widowmaker was plugged 100%, and he got a stent put in. So, yeah, check the mental health, but, guys, don't forget your physical health, too.
Take care of yourself. All right. Good stuff, Ted. Yep. Good stuff. Yep, you tend to forget it at this, you know, when we get into situations like we're in. Guys, thank you so much for making time for us today. We got Ken McCauley over in White Cloud, Kansas. Thanks, Ken.
You bet, Chip. Good call. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And we've got Ted Hamer here in the southwest corner of northeast Iowa.
Ted
Good
the
talk
Hammer.
With you again, Ted.
Yeah. Hey, go Cards.
Yeah, go Cubs. All right. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Rodney Davis for joining us. Come back this afternoon. We got Sean Hackett. Tomorrow morning, Paul Niefer.
This year, the marketing intern at Wiffles Hybrids suggested that if we wanted to reach the next generation of farmers, we'd have to start using something called a hashtag, which is really just the pound symbol. So here goes nothing. Hashtag independent seed, explosive yield, viral corn. Now we'll just corn have to emoji. Wait for our seed corn to go viral. Wiffles Hybrids, quite possibly the best hybrids you can buy. Am I doing this okay?
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.